Well, good morning, everybody, and all you folk at home. It's lovely that you could be with us this morning. The story is told of a man who got a permit to open the first tavern in a little town. The members of the local church were very strongly opposed to this bar being opened in their home, so they began to pray that God would intervene. A few days before the tavern was scheduled to open, lightning struck the structure and it burnt to the ground. The people of the church were surprised but very pleased until they received notice that the would-be tavern owner was suing them. He contended that their prayers were responsible for the burning of the building. They denied the charge. At the conclusion of the preliminary hearing, the judge wryly remarked, "At this point, I don't know what my decision will be, but it seems that the tavern owner believes in the power of prayer, and these church people don't." Do you remember the story in Acts chapter 12 where Peter was put in prison by King Herod and a group of his friends, Christians, were praying that he'd been released? And one night an angel was sent by God to Peter and he woke Peter up, his chains fell off, and the angel said to Peter, "Come." And Peter followed him out the prison, past the two guards who didn't even see them, down the street. And Peter knocked at the door of the house where the Christians were praying. And a young servant girl called Rhoda came to the door and heard Peter's voice. And she ran back to the Christians that were praying and said, "Peter is at the door." And what did they say? "You're out of your mind. Nonsense." The knocking carried on. They eventually opened the door. And when they saw Peter, they were absolutely astonished. Unfortunately, those two reactions often are pretty normal because people and many Christians don't realize the power of prayer. My message this morning is praying with confidence. Do you realize what happens when you actually pray? The power of prayer is the power of God released through prayer. Prayer is the key that unlocks the storehouse of God's infinite power and grace. Prayer is the heartbeat of the Christian life. Prayer is the barometer of your spiritual life. Prayer is the path to strength and peace. Prayer is man's means to reach out for God's touch. By prayer, you can plug into the most dynamic power in the universe, and that's a fact. You can harness God's power to fight against the powers of darkness and evil in this world. But do you know what the secret of dynamic prayer is? There was a bumper sticker with this on, and it's also Billy Graham's motto as well. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And that sums up what our attitude should be to prayer. Don't even analyze it. Don't question it. Don't try to understand it. Just take it as a fait accompli, because we will never fully understand how prayer works. But it does. God says so, and many of you can vouch for that, and I definitely can. Friends, the most comforting thing I experience in everyday life is being able to speak to my living God anytime, anywhere, and continually, and knowing that he answers me. I don't think I could cope well with life if I couldn't pray, or live in South Africa without prayer, with a huge crime rate, danger, unrest, and corruption, upheaval, protests, HIV, now the coronavirus, etc., etc., etc. But you can face anything and every new day with our living Savior at our sides and within us. Prayer is the greatest privilege you and I, as Christians, have to be able to communicate with Almighty God. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? And so many people take it so lightly and so unbelievingly, so ignorantly, like just an add-on to life, or even forgotten about. And then people wonder why life's a mess, or why they are not coping, or why they lack God's peace. Many of you watching the service this morning are great prayers. I know that. So this message to you is just a reminder that we have a great privilege of prayer. But for everyone else, may we be enthused again by one of the greatest gifts and privileges that God has offered to each one of us. Free. To live in God's power, to bless others, to advance God's kingdom on earth, and to worship our great God. So let's look at our subject. Firstly, the trouble with prayer. A survey was done some time ago, asked people to complete the statement, when it comes to prayer, ... And the three top answers were, I don't pray enough, I don't know what to pray, and I don't know if prayer even does any good. Some people do find it easier than others to pray, but if you can speak to another person, which every one of you can do, you can speak to God. I spoke to a lady some time ago, very, very disillusioned with prayer, as many people sometimes are, and she said, I keep asking and asking God and nothing happens. I don't seem to get any help. How must I pray? One thing I said to her was, stop pleading with God and turn your prayers into praise and thanksgiving, thankfulness, that God has given you His Holy Spirit. She was a Christian. He's with you in every circumstance of life, if you ask Him to be. That God is within you. But many people put the cart before the horse. So let me ask you this question. What is the first and primary most important task for each one of us on earth? It's to bring glory to God. It's to honor Him, to praise Him, and to thank Him. Why? Because our very existence is a gift from God. Just being alive this morning, every breath of air we breathe, everything we have and possess, it's a gift to us from God. Yet we often come to God only when in trouble and we ask and ask and ask. Notice in our reading earlier that Tracy read to us in Luke 11, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus answered, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. That was the first thing He said. The first and most important thing is praise, worship, thanks, bringing glory to God. I said to the lady with a prayer problem, stop pleading with God and turn your prayers into praise and thankfulness. There's someone in my office, often is, where people say, my prayers seem to hit the ceiling. Turn your prayers into praise, I tell them. Read the Psalms back to God. There's such a lot of praise in there. One of the simplest ways of remembering what the structure of a good prayer should be is the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. Not the book of Acts in the Bible, but the letters, A-C-T-S. A, adoration. That's what we should start with, giving God praise and honor for who He is. C, confession. Honestly dealing with your sins, and we are all sinners. And I give thanks at the beginning of the service and at every service here, we ask God for forgiveness. We need to keep a clean slate with God. Confession. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. Righteous just means right with God. In other words, you've had your sins confessed and you accepted Christ's forgiveness, and most important, you're right with God. You have a relationship with God, and of course that's the most important thing, to be right with God, having accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I hope you've done that. So A, adoration, C, confession, T, thankfulness. Tell God what you are grateful for. And then S, in Acts, supplication. Just a fancy word for asking. Pray for the needs of others, the needs of yourself. Try it. Adoration, confession, thankfulness, supplication. Acts, A-C-T-S, easy to remember. And that will revolutionize your prayer life. Getting back to the disappointments in prayer that many people lose confidence through, you pray maybe and ask for something important and you don't get it. That's happened to each one of us. Or you pray for a friend's recovery and maybe they die. Or you pray for a solution to a family problem, and you wait and wait and wait. And God seems to ignore you. Slowly disappointment creeps in. You lose enthusiasm for prayer, and one feels guilty and disappointed with oneself, and one's confidence in God diminishes. The first step is to admit the problem, then work past the disappointment and regain your confidence in God. That's the purpose of this message this morning. We can find confidence in praying by learning some very simple yet profound principles of prayer. It doesn't depend on eloquence or spirituality. You don't need to be smart to pray, using fancy words. Just be yourself. Coming up now are basic ABC qualities. We're returning to basics. The ABC of prayer. Number 1A. Approach God through a mediator, Jesus Christ. Now, we all know this. It's the basis of prayer. But what's the significance of that? It was God's idea to resolve our inadequacy to reach God. God's great, perfect, holy God. We're very imperfect and very unholy. We muck it up every day. There's no way we can get to God. So God had to reach out to us, and he did, through Jesus Christ. So he worked this out to show God's love for us, his love for us, and to connect us to heaven. Never again could it be argued that God doesn't care or isn't touched by our problems. God wanted to talk to us far more than we wanted to talk to him. So God made it easier for us to approach him. What Jesus Christ did for you and me on the cross gives us great confidence whenever we approach God in prayer. We don't have to approach God in our own sin-stained reputation. We come in the name and the interests of God's own and dearly loved Son, Jesus Christ. This manner of approach was always in God's mind for us. For centuries, remember, in the tabernacle and the temple, God was approached with blood sacrifices. Remember that? We see those sacrifices illustrated in the violent suffering and death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Also in the temple, on the altar, the incense and fragrance rose up to God, which is our prayers to God today. David in Psalm 141 verse 2 says, "May my prayers be set before you like incense." Our prayers please God, like a sacrifice, as it were. So there's a link between sacrifice and prayer. Our mediator, Jesus Christ, who is the final sacrifice, once and for all, for our sins, is acceptable to God today. He makes us acceptable. As we receive Christ in us, when God looks down upon us, he doesn't see our dirty lives. He sees the righteousness covering us, Christ covering us. That's why it's so important to have that relationship. So we have access to God through Christ and access through prayer to God. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We see this confidence in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Listen to these amazing verses. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Aren't those amazing words, Hebrews 4:14? So we have confidence in prayer through the past sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, and also confidence in the present advocate. If you look at that word advocate, because the Bible tells us Jesus is our advocate in the dictionary, it's one who speaks on our behalf, who pleads for us, who defends us, who recommends us. So Jesus Christ's work continues for us at God's right hand right now, interceding for us. That's why we call Jesus our Savior. Jesus reconnects us to God by his merits and not by our own merits. 1 James chapter 2 verse 1 says, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. That's a great privilege, isn't it? Doesn't that give you confidence in prayer? It certainly gives me confidence. So why do we hold back? How could we feel hesitant about praying? What an opportunity. What a privilege. Your feelings don't make any difference at all. So don't worry about your feelings. Just carry on praying. God hears you because of Jesus Christ. We're looking at five simple basics of prayer, A, B, C, D, E. That was A, approach God through a mediator, Jesus Christ, the mediator. That's why it's so vitally important to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, first of all. Number two, B, be honest about your complaints. God loves honest talk, so be real. Just be yourself. Be yourself. So the second essential to confidence in prayer is to be honest with what is in your hearts. After all, God knows your very thoughts. Just read Psalm 139. Before words on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. What does not please God is cheap flattery or ritual or insecure words repeated over and over thoughtlessly. Don't mess with God. Tell the truth when you pray. To do this, we need to spend time in self-evaluation and confession of sin. That's why that's so important. That's what's included in every service here. Tell God how you feel about yourself and about himself and our problems and people and our needs, frustrations, our desires, painful memories. Speak to him honestly. He's your friend. He loves to hear you. If you don't want to do God's will, tell him. So we can ask God for help to overcome our rebellion and our foolishness. And reading scripture, God's word, enables us to see what is really going on inside ourselves. It's like a light shining in our lives. It shows up the negatives and the positives, shows up growth, strength, resilience against temptation, God's grace and peace. So be honest with God. Number three, C, ABC. Converse instead of talking. Converse means conversation. A common hindrance to confident praying is feeling that no one is listening. Prayer is meant to be an interaction. When we feel God is not listening, focus on two aspects of prayer. Number one, listen for God's voice. It's hard to listen when we are doing all the talking, isn't it? Prayer is also responding thoughtfully to what God has and is saying through his word, the Bible. So the Bible is important in our ongoing conversation with the Lord. Read Proverbs, read Psalms or the epistles and see what God is saying to you. And God also directs us through his Holy Spirit in us, our conscience and desires, etc. So number one, listen. Number two, do something about whatever God is saying to you. Listening to God will result in actions as well as words. When we pray, we must be ready to take action. God is a living God. He steps into our lives with an awesome power and changes us in a dramatic and unpredictable ways. Or he may leave us right where we are for a time. That's okay too. He's God. Oswald Chambers said, do not use the excuse of prayer to cover up what you know you ought to do. Sometimes we pray too much and do too little. So 3C was converse. Now we get to four, the fourth one, D. Defer your own impatience. A wealthy woman phoned the manager of a concert hall and asked, have you found a diamond pendant I lost in your building last night at the show? The manager replied, no, we haven't found it, but we'll look. Please hold the line. So he took the number of her seats and they went. And during a quick search, the valuable diamond was located. When the manager returned to the phone, however, the woman was no longer on the line. She had hung up. She never called again, and the expensive jewelry went unclaimed. Now, we would fault that woman for her impatience and lack of persistence, but we sometimes act just like that, don't we? And in doing so, we give up something much more precious than diamonds. We lose the opportunity to have God, the God of the universe, help us with our problems, meet our needs, and lead us to do His will. Often we hurriedly make our requests but fail to hold the line or call back. We need the stick-to-itiveness. Sometimes it seems that God has put us on hold. We know He's there, but He's just not responding. Our perspective is like us looking at the situation, at life, at our lives, through a keyhole. That's all we see. But God's on the other side. He sees the whole picture. God always answers prayers. He either says yes or no or wait. So how do we handle God's timing? Three things. Have confidence in God's wisdom. He's the all-wise God. He knows everything. Number two, have confidence in God's timing. God knows the whole picture. Number three, have confidence in God's goodness. That was point number four, D. Defer your impatience. And now the last point. One was A. Approach God through a mediator, Jesus Christ, the great advocate. The second was B. Be honest with God. Then C, converse instead of talking, read, listen, do, and D, defer your impatience. And the fifth one, E, enjoy God while you wait. Another way to become confident in prayer is to learn to enjoy God while waiting for Him to meet your need. Nothing we are waiting for can compare with the privilege of knowing Him. Nothing else is as important as God Himself. We can always enjoy God because of our confidence, because of what we know about God. We know that He's made incredible promises to us. Read those promises, learn them. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We know that He's good. We know that He loves us. That's why He came to earth for us and suffered for us, showed us His love. We know He has plans for us that are good. And you can thank Him. There's so many things we can thank Him for. A joyful person is a thankful person. We've got so much to be thankful for instead of grumbling and having pity parties and just thinking of ourselves. You can praise Him. Praise Him. That's the secret of just God smiling upon you. And you can always trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says the following. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Rejoice in the promises God has given us about prayer. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 to 9. Lovely section. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That's a promise. The antidote for anxiety is praise. Roll your burdens onto God. He's big enough to handle them. So friends, this morning, sitting at home, a couple of people here in the church, how's your prayer life? There's a lot that can be said about prayer, but we've just looked at five very simple points. A, you approach God very boldly through Jesus Christ. But of course you need firstly that real personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I hope you can all say hallelujah to that. If not, do something about it. Then you're in continuous contact with God. B, be honest. C, converse realize it's a two-way thing. Listen and do. D, defer your own impatience. And E, enjoy God while you wait. I close with this verse from Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Then our desires are in line with his desires for us, because our desire is to please him and honor him. So may God bless and grow the prayer life of each one of us. Will you join me as we pray together? Almighty God, we bow before you as our great God and Father. We thank you for the privilege you've given us of being able to speak to you through Jesus Christ. What an honor. And Lord, we often take it so much for granted. We often just ignore it in our lives. But Lord, I trust there's some people that are listening to this that need a jolt in their prayer life. Lord, won't you help those people just to get on track again? We can all improve with our speaking to you and honoring you and praising you. So Lord, we pray that you just help us, each one, to be great praying people, not only for ourselves but for others, and just be grateful to you for everything, to converse with you, to know that you're available 24/7, every second of the day we can speak to you. May it be a conversation. May we know your presence with us in a real way as we communicate with you. Thank you for that privilege. Lord, we pray you'd bless each one of us. May our prayer lives improve for your sake, for your glory, and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen.